Praise the Lord. I appreciate you tuning in today, and I hope you're blessed and blessed to the Lord and hungry for God's Word. I believe that the Word of God is what's going to save the sinner. It's what's going to wash the church. That's what the Word of God said. And be instant in season and out of season. Preach His Word. So I want to teach and minister God's Word. Lord, in the name of Jesus, as men and women gather to listen to the Word of God as it's so taught, God, let them be touched of You. Let the Word bring life into their soul and spirit, uplift them and bless them and give them understanding they can fight the good fight of faith and the fights of life. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to teach this morning on the subject, forget the past. And if we simply dwell in the past, we never are able to go forward. I've heard this said, and I say it again today. Gleam out of the past the things that will uplift you and bless you, and throw the rest of them away. We, a lot of time in the loss of loved ones, and people are close to us. Some people say, well, just don't ever think about them again. Just throw everything out and forget it. That's not true. You want to glean the things that was good, the things that would help you, the things would give you power to overcome with. You want to hold those things and cherish those things. And I want to go to a section of Scripture in Paul's writing in the third chapter of Philippians. Here he began to expound, as Paul began to expound, in verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Verse 9, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, be made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though as I have already obtained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now in verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before me, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be made thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us mind the same thing. Here we see that he makes an understanding to us that he forgot those things. You know, Paul's the one said, I want to know more about his love. I want to know more about that resurrection. I want to know more about the power. And he said that he may know him. And he said in doing this, he had to forget the past. Now, he said he lost all things for Christ. But he counted gain. And he counted the things that he lost. He counted them, but dung. And that's pretty serious in verse 8. That I may win Christ. And we have to come to that point. We're willing to give it all up for Christ. We can't hold on to anything in this world. I've done a message sometime back. What in hell would you want to miss heaven for? And that's not cursing. That's simply saying, what in that awful place of hell would you want to miss heaven for? What in the world would you want to miss heaven for? There's nothing worth missing heaven for. But you're going to have to forgive some things. You have to get them out of your mind and sight. I hear a lot of people say, well, I've been hurt. I can't go to church. I've been hurt. My land, forget it. Amen. You're going to miss heaven over a little hurt? Forget it. Forget the past. Well, so-and-so hurt me. Forget it. Forgive and forget. Well, the preacher hurt me. Forgive and forget. My friend, you need to forget the things that will doom your soul, the things that will bring anguish, the things that will destroy you. You need to forget them. You need to get them out of the way. You need to get that chip off your shoulder and just simply forget it. The Bible said, you know, he throws it in a sea of forgetfulness and remembers it no more against us. You know, that sea, we call it a sea of forgetfulness. He throws it in a sea and remembers it no more, and we labeled it as a sea of forgetfulness, which it is the sea, and God does forget it. So understand, we may be holding something against somebody. We may be in a situation where we're holding that against a church member. They may have even died and don't even go to church anymore. See, the devil, you got to understand, the devil is what the problem is. The devil is where the situation's at. It's not in the fact of maybe what they did or what they didn't do. Yeah, somebody might have wronged you. The pastor might have wronged you. I read every day where a pastor runs off of somebody in the church. I read a pastor right here in town told a man that his wife was leaving him, and the pastor told him, well, that man would be, he said to that man, he said, your wife will be better with me than with you. Now, that come from a holiness preacher told him that. I've seen things that if I didn't forget a lot of things and throw them away, I'd go punch somebody's lights out every once in a while. But we ain't going to get nowhere doing that. We've got to turn it over to God, realize what goes around comes around. We seen a situation here just the other week of somebody in a right high position here that's putting on religion. I mean, God told me to start with that the preacher that claimed to lead him to the Lord didn't have nothing, and he was a phony, and the man claimed that he got something. He was still getting drunk, still partying, and, you know, we could just hold that against everybody and say, well, bless God, we ain't nothing to that religion, because look at that. It's not the religion the problem. It's not God that's the problem. It's ungodly preachers that need to get saved and get prayed through. It's people that go to church that still want to smoke and drink and cuss and partake of the filth of the world. That's the problem. But if we let that stuff get caught up in our spirit, we get almost anguished against God. It's not God's fault that people don't obey the word. It's not God's fault that preachers don't preach right. It's not God's fault that people wrong you and lie on you. I told somebody the other day, and in this town right here, a lot of the sinners are better than me than Christians. You know, a lot of the sinners at least don't lie on me. But the lyingest people I've ever seen is people claim to be Christians. They'll tell every tale they can tell on you. But if I allow those things to get me in between me and God, then those people have won. I've heard people say, well, I go to church, but the church is full of hypocrites. I always tell them to come on, one more ain't going to hurt nothing. We cannot let these things get between us and God. And then the hypocrite wins. Then your enemies win. When you allow these things to get caught up in your spirit, and you put your boxing gloves on with God, and you get anguished towards God, and you get mad, then they win. You've got to forget it. As I said a minute ago, you've got to forgive and forget. We've got too much to go to heaven for to fool around down here in the mess that's here. Amen. When that trumpet sounds so loud, it's going to wake the dead. I'm going to be out of here, and I'm going to encourage you to get right with God. But if you're not, you're going to be left sitting, and the saints of God are going to be out of here. I remember one time years ago, I was preaching in you know, kind of, it's easy to get tongue-tied when you're preaching, and you just have to back up and catch it again. And sometimes if you quote something wrong, you'll quote it wrong two or three times, you got to just kind of back up and take a breath and not try to fix it. Just go ahead and say, I misquoted that. Here's what I meant to say. But anyway, I was just preaching, and boy, I was going at it. And I mentioned that scripture about, you know, you're going to be left behind. And I said, you're going to be set lefting. I got the words turned around. So after the message, a lady come up to me and she said, I really paid a lot of attention to your notes of your message and took a lot of notes from it. But I didn't understand that word set lefting. What does that mean? And I just snorted and laughed. And I said, ma'am, I meant to say left setting. So when I said that today, it brought that back, and I thought about it, and I almost stumbled on it again. I almost said the same thing wrong. And it's so easy to do things like that. And I've heard actually people that fell out with preachers over they said something or said this or said that, you know. And there again, it was a mistake. The Bible said, you know, if your brother has aught with you, you're to go to him. I hear people fold their arms and say, well, bless the Lord, I'll never go to them. They will come to me. They'll come and fix that, or I'll leave them alone. Well, you're out of the scripture to start with. If they have wronged you, the Bible says you are to go to them. And, you know, I know somebody real close to me in my life. I said the other day, talking about, you know, their experience, and I said, I believe the thing in their life that made them become a strong Christian is they wronged me in an unmerciful way one time. It cost me more money than I want to talk about. It cost me a lot of things. It was a nightmare. But I went to them, and I forgive them. They gritted their teeth when they seen me coming, because I know what they're thinking. Oh, mercy, this guy's going to bite my jaws, you know. But I didn't go to do that. I went to clear the slate. I went to tell them that I was going to forgive them. And that was in it. From that day to this, that person never said, I forgive you. But somehow or another, it changed their life. I told them to fix it with the Lord. I said, you don't have to ever bring the subject up to me, because I've done forgive you. And see, I've heard people say, well, I'll forgive but never forget. Well, I'm not sure you've forgiven if you hadn't forgot it. You know, I know there are times you got to kind of watch people. And I run into a businessman here, and he stole some money in dealings we had. And a friend of mine told me, he said, I should have come and told you when you started dealing with him that he was the type of guy, professed to be a Christian, went to church, working in the church. Matter of fact, he's been accused of stealing money out of some of the churches you're in town. But that guy, he simply was a thief. He simply, money stuck to his hands. And, you know, he would say, I'm sorry, but never, I don't think he ever truly repented of it, because he's still doing the same thing. He's still out in his business every day, robbing people every day. Now, I had to kind of leave him alone, because course changed and I didn't need to do business with him. But the man said, Brother Goat, I wish that I'd told you how crooked he was, you know. And I know that you got to forgive, you got to forget, but you have to sometimes be mindful of the situation, especially if they don't repent. You know, guy breaks in your house and steals everything in your house last week, and he don't repent. You can forgive him all you want to, but you better fix the lock on your door. So a lot of things has to be rightly divided. Sometimes I think Christians don't use good common sense. We got to use good common sense. If your next door neighbor's a thief, yeah, you're going to have to forgive him for it. But if the lock's broke on your back door, you might ought to fix that back door, because he might come over and steal something again while you're gone. Amen? So use wisdom. But forget. Forget those things that are behind, and press towards the mark of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus. You'll know more of God's power, know more of his resurrection, more of his suffering, more of all this fellowship. just forget things. Take Paul's understanding and forget those things that are behind you. Forget those things that are in the past and walk up into the future and take hold of tomorrow with all your heart, mind, and soul. Forget the past. Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you for these words that you put in my spirit to speak today. Let it be an encouragement to people. Let it be life to them. Let them be a yardstick, a rule they can go by. God, give them victory and help them as they walk their daily life. God, heal, set free, and delivers our prayer. In the name of Jesus, amen.